that kind of just speaks, I think, to where we are right now. That is, people not sure about what party to vote for, but maybe looking at the person going forward, finding out what that person is about and trying to find out more information. Maybe we get a smarter electorate out of this. I'm hoping for that. People actually do their research and really find out what people are all about. One can hold out hope, right?
Well, yeah, you can. I want to take you in a different direction because I run into more people who are vaccine hesitant, and yet we are going further and further towards vaccine mandates. We had the president talking tough a week or so ago. You know, our patience is wearing thin with you folks. Why the vaccine hesitancy?
You know, I think it's because we haven't rolled it out right since the beginning. I mean,
is it bad messaging? Is it bad messaging or just a bad concept?
I think it's bad messaging, to be honest with you. I think that and again, the messaging started with Fauci. I think when, you know, when a guy gets on there and says, "Hey, you don't need to wear a mask because it's all right." You know, maybe, you know, having a mask on, you're going to touch your face a little too often, and then you might actually contract it because you weren't smart. And then he turns around a month, 2 months, 3 months later and says, "Oh, I think it's a good idea. You should wear a mask." And then later on, two masks. And so, you know, that's just one example. I think that they keep telling us that this is what we know. And yet we don't know all this stuff yet. We're learning. And so I think from that beginning, people have been told one thing and then told a different thing later on. And so now they're just really hesitant. The other thing that I think we should have done since the beginning is really gotten the message out through people, through, you know, their own communities, people that were trusted in their own communities, religious organizations should have done a lot of the work as well. And we didn't do that. That was something that we could have done. We actually introduced a resolution during the last session where we suggested that, and that resolution was completely ignored. And so we really thought there was much better coming from people that are trusted within their own communities. And so you still see small numbers coming out from some of the communities, the Hispanic community, the Black community. There's still numbers are really low, and I think it could have been a lot higher had we had that messaging coming from their own folks.
More coming up with Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18. We'll find out when the next Teletown Hall is. A lot of you love those Teletown Halls, and you wait for the next one. We'll find out when the next one is. That's all coming up as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
KMZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Come in now and get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a lifetime warranty.
Well, at 4:30, as we check out our traffic cams right now, there is some police activity which has closed the off-ramps to Charleston Boulevard on the 515 in both directions. Now, you can use Eastern or Boulder Highway as alternatives to get off the freeway there. Also, some heavy volumes on the Southern Beltway, 215 westbound at Decatur, 215 eastbound at St. Rose. You're pretty much bumper to bumper, 215 westbound at Valley Verde as you try to work your way through there. There's some shoulder activity on the right side. And do expect major delays downtown because of that bridge reconstruction work. Only two lanes available, 515 eastbound at Main and 515 northbound at Pecos.
Pro Insurance Solutions presents this Sports Flash powered by the Score app from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. I'm Matt Pauly. The Raiders are 2-0 but banged up going into their home game against Miami coming up on Sunday. Quarterback Derek Carr is questionable for the game, according to head coach John Gruden. Gruden also referred to running back Josh Jacobs as being, quote, very questionable, unquote. The Raiders do add a quarterback to the organization as Kyle Sloter, who spent some time in the organization during the offseason, has been signed to the practice squad. Hockey season getting closer and closer. The Vegas Golden Knights open up training camp tomorrow. Download the Score app today. Lightning fast sports alerts so you never miss a thing. It's why the Score app is one of North America's most popular sports apps. This Sports Flash is brought to you by Pro Insurance Solutions. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, I'm Matt Pauly, AM 670 KMZQ, Talk Radio done right.
At Allstate, we've been saying you're in good hands for a long time. But what exactly does that mean? Does it mean you're protected from life's uncertainties? Does it mean you can worry less and live a little more? Does it mean you're not alone, even when things get kind of hard? Actually, yes. Yes, it does. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Allstate and affiliates offer products and services subject to availability, terms, and conditions.
So in life, throws you uh-ohs. Just say, better get Mako.
Head to Mako.com to book your appointment today.
Get that satisfying crunch. Now with 20% more honey. Try a delicious Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bar with more of the honey you love.
Hello, I'm Fred Simon, candidate for Nevada governor. You and I both know that there is something seriously wrong with the way Nevada has been managed, especially during the COVID crisis. Our current governor closed our businesses, our schools, our places of worship, and even silenced objecting voices. He prevented the use of safe and low-cost therapeutic drugs. How can I know this? I am an experienced trauma surgeon living in Douglas County. I am an MD, a medical doctor. I understand the importance of reaching medical decisions based solely on an unbiased and ethical evaluation of all data. So please, tell your friends and neighbors that we'll have to make our own hope. I will end the damaging economic policies and extreme control tactics enforced by irresponsible politicians. Learn more anytime and join us at simonforgovnv.com. Thank you.
Paid for by Simon for Nevada.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
I always love talking with Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18, because we talk a lot about education. We both share a love for education, and because we realize it's the future of our community. Scott, I was not surprised. Failing test scores have been coming down the line in both math and English. That is bad, bad news. A lot of folks are not a lot of students are not reading at the grade level. What is going on? And are we seeing any improvement at all?
That's a tough question. No, I mean, obviously, we're not seeing the improvement that we wanted. What's going on is we took a whole year off and didn't really require the students to even be on video. If they're not on video, if they're not in front of a camera so that the teacher knows that they're there, then we don't even know if they're in the same room when they're being taught. So, therefore, I'm not sure there was a whole lot of learning going on last year. And now, to make matters worse, I'm trying to bring common sense to this. During the legislative session, there were those who came in and said, look, we weren't there. You can't hold everybody accountable if the students weren't, if we didn't have school. So how can you hold the teachers accountable? And I said, to a certain degree, I get it, yes. But they wanted to make the teachers, they just wanted to make them unavailable for any kind of criticism for years to come. And we finally said, well, you got to have some accountability. And so after, a year, there's going to be some accountability measures because you have to know who's in there teaching and who's not. Then you got Oregon up there saying, hey, we're not going to have anybody have a grade. We're just going to get rid of grades. I'm like, this is the state of education. This is where we're heading. And I'm like, I don't know how to respond to that because I think what we're saying to our students is you're not worth us troubling ourselves over your education for. I mean, I would put this in a way that a lot of people can understand this. The person who's driving around right now, I think if you think about it as a parent, and we've all been seeing this in movies and whatnot, but the minute that you as a parent no longer care about your kid and don't care that they're getting into trouble, don't care that they're doing this or that, that's the minute that the child knows that you don't care. And so if we don't hold kids accountable for getting good grades or trying or, you know, doing their best in school, that's the minute that they know we don't care about them. And so I think that we need to reevaluate that. That's why I still believe that school choice is a big deal, because parents are going to have more decision-making in the schooling process. Now, it's our schools, well, at least down here in Southern Nevada, our school system is so large that it just seems like we don't have much of a say. You know, the mom and dads just don't have that same sort of connection or that, don't have that input into schools like they should have. I don't know. I hope that you and I can have a bigger, broader discussion on this one day, but I'm very concerned about the direction that we're going, and I hope everybody else is too, and I hope they start standing up and saying, hey, during this pandemic, we've seen an increase in micro schooling. We've seen an increase in charter schools. We've seen an increase where, as long as you put pressure on the public schools, there's going to have to be a change, because if they don't change, they're going to wither and die on the vine. And you've got to make sure that we're putting that kind of pressure so that people are changing for the better. Even public schools, I don't want them to fail. I want them to get better. I want them to get better, to do better for our students.
But one of the problems is the teachers union has stood in the way of school choice. The only way that I see of getting around that is to go the initiative route and start collecting signatures and get this thing on the ballot and get ESAs on the ballot and all kinds of school choice measures on the ballot. Is that the way you see it, or do you think there's another way of doing it legislatively?
Well, I'm going to keep doing it legislatively, but I don't disagree with you at all. I think we ought to be looking at this and seeing what we can do on the ballot, because we would be in a whole different place right now, and we would have been in a whole different place during the pandemic if people had access to ESAs, because then they would have said, look, I'm going to make my money work. I'm going to make my students get to a place where they're actually going to get in-person delivery of education or whatever they needed for their student. A lot of people would have been a lot better off during the pandemic had we had an ESA in place, so they had access to send their kid to where they wanted to go. So, yeah, I think that a lot of people need to know that. They need to understand if that alternative was there, we would be having a different discussion right now.
I want to ask you about what's going on along our southern border. It's a crime to me what is going on. We've talked a little bit about the Del Rio, Texas thing, but just in general, our attitude towards immigration reform and this administration, the lackluster job that they've done. Kamala Harris was supposedly the point person on immigration. Then she said, no, I'm just going to deal with the diplomacy side. I'm going to go to Guatemala. I'm going to go to Mexico. But I'm not going to go to the border. I'm going to talk with the presidents of the countries and things like that. Is there a better way of going about what we should have been doing over the course of the last, 8 months?
Oh, absolutely. Look, this is, immigration reform 2.0 from the same parts of the same administration. If you recall back when Obama took over, that was his priority, right? He got in and he said, look, when I get into office, this is going to be one of my major issues, and we're going to get this thing done. Well, he had all of the apparatus in his power during that time, right? He had the House, he had the Senate. They could have fixed this a long time ago, because this isn't, and it shouldn't be, a partisan issue. This should be a, let's solve this issue right now, not only for citizens of the United States, but citizens who are not from the United States, people from other countries. It's a crisis, and it's also a human rights crisis. I mean, what they're doing, people crossing the border as they're doing, you know, coming across sometimes without food, water, sometimes in the presence of people who are dangerous people, people who don't care about their lives. They care about the money that they're making from these folks to try and get into the United States and have a better life. I mean, there's that hope, right? That's what's driving people here, is that hope for a better life. And people are selling it to them and then making money off of them and not guaranteeing their safety. It is a crisis, and it should have been handled. I know I'm going around this. The answer to your question is they're not handling it very well. They didn't handle it very well when Obama got into his presidency. Matter of fact, they kicked the can down the road, and here we are. And I don't believe that they want to try and solve the problem. I think that they want to keep the problem as it is, because they believe that's what helps them drive votes towards Democrats. And I don't think that is the right approach, because I know a lot of Democrats who would like to solve this problem. and a lot of Republicans would. And I think if we just sat down and actually allowed them to work together, we could come up with the right solution for the people who are citizens of this, of the United States, as well as the people who are coming over here who just want to work and then go back to their homeland when there's no work here, that kind of thing. I think that's exactly what we need to get to, and we're not hitting that sweet spot.
I want to ask you about Afghanistan refugees. They flew out, 125,000 people. Most of them were Afghans. And I guess my question is, we know now that 150 of these immigrants are going to be coming to Nevada, 50 in southern Nevada, 100 in northern Nevada. What should we do with these people? Should we allow them to resettle here? Or there have been some people around the country that have said, hey, our people are having trouble finding jobs as is. Are we going to add to that pressure by bringing in uneducated Afghanistan refugees?
Look, before, when Trump, January 2020, our unemployment in the United States was less than, it was around 4%. And right now it's much higher. So our economy, it has room to improve. We just have to have the right leadership in there to improve that. I mean, our state alone, we could be adding a lot of jobs. There's a lot of people out there who are looking for people to work and not enough people who are coming in to get do that. I really believe that you have, I'm grateful that these folks are coming. They got out of Afghanistan. A lot of them wanted to stay there. I always look at it as they wanted to stay in their country. They're comfortable there. Situations that they had no control over forced them out, because if they don't leave, many of them are just going to die, right? I mean, that's where we were, is that anybody who was sympathetic towards the United States and their time in Afghanistan, those people who were cooperative, we're looking at a death penalty for the most part. And so here they are. Want to welcome them to the United States, help them get resettled if this is where they would like to stay, give them that option, but to try and offer extend every courtesy out to them and try to do what's right by them, and then hopefully make them a part of our workforce, as well as welcome into our culture. There's going to be a shock for them. They're going to have to change. Invariably, they're going to change. Everybody does change a little bit, and hopefully they assimilate into our culture and bring a little different perspective to those that they meet along the way as well. And that's my hope for them.
Scott, when's the next Town Hall? People love those things.
So, we were going to do it tonight, but apparently there's all kinds of meetings that are going on tonight. The Clark County Republican Party is having their meeting tonight. Some other folks are doing some meetings, so we're going to schedule it for next Tuesday when it's not as busy, but we're going to put that on the calendar and invite everybody to listen in.
Who's in control of the Clark County Republican Party? Who answers the phone when you call them?
I usually get a response from Eddie Gonzalez. That's who I usually get a response from. But apparently, it's Steven Silberkraus is in charge right now. The courts keep telling us that the court that said, "Hey, we'll just see next week when you guys have your meeting." So I think there's two separate meetings tonight, and then it's going to go back to court, I believe.
Wow. Hey, Scott, always good to visit with you. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you next week. Have a good week.
There you go. Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18. I'll be honest with you. When I call a Clark County Republican Party, I never know who's going to answer the phone. They just don't. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Breaking news, newsmakers, and political heavy hitters, all before the sun comes up. The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Time for a weather update. It's a temperature. It could rain or not. It's either hot or cold. So wear a jacket or don't. Anyway, good luck.
Unclear information isn't helpful, which is why when your car needs repair, head to Meineke Car Care Centers. With Meineke e-inspection, we'll send photos and technician notes straight to your phone, telling you what should be fixed and why. Get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a free lifetime warranty. Meineke, doing car care right. At participating locations, terms and conditions apply.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Ever tried to get through airport security without an ID? Good luck with that, right? Ever filled out your tax return and handed it to a stranger who knocks on your door promising to deliver it to the IRS? Yeah, probably not. But that's exactly what Steve Sisolak has done with our elections by refusing to ask for an ID to vote and signing a law that allows campaign workers to show up at your door and take your ballot. It's called harvesting, and it was a felony until Sisolak changed the law. Sheriff Joe Lombardo, as our next governor, will fight to change all that and to enact laws that make it impossible to steal an election. Sheriff Lombardo spent 30 years defending our rights and keeping us safe. He's exactly the conservative leader we need to shake things up in Carson City. Sheriff Joe Lombardo, Republican for governor. Paid for and authorized by Better Nevada PAC.
I'm Sam Peters, retired military officer, Bronze Star recipient, conservative business owner, and proud American patriot. For too long, we have felt the devastating impacts of liberal elected officials, the policies they force upon us, and sadly, those citizens that just get in line, forgetting the freedoms and liberties we have as Americans. In America, we have the right, no, the responsibility, to question our elected leaders. It takes courage, but it must be done. We must have the courage to say no to mandatory vaccines, critical race theory, socialism, and the censoring of our constitutional rights. We must hold our elected officials accountable and remind them that we elected them to represent us, not rule us. As you navigate your day today, remember, do it with conservative courage, because this is your America, and liberty still matters. This message is brought to you by Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance, a local business operating with conservative courage. Call us at 702-870-4000.
Get the info you need to know with the KMZQ Newsflash, proudly sponsored by DeCastro Verde Law Group Personal Injury. Alex and Orlando DeCastro Verde will stand by you every step of the way, and their family will fight for yours.
It's time to get out with the old and in with the...
Woo!
At Finley Chevrolet, we have the largest selection of new Chevrolets in Southern Nevada. Get the Chevrolet you want at the price you deserve today.
Woo!
Finley Chevrolet at the 215 in South Rainbow, Nevada's number one Chevrolet volume dealer. Find new roads.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Really a tragic end to a story that we've been following all week. Gabby Petito apparently has died. Now the question is, who killed her? It's been ruled a homicide. Gentleman Jim Dallas has been tracking this story, and I know a lot of us were hoping against hope that she would come out of rural Wyoming, but it alive, but it did not happen. What do we know so far?
Well, police have been looking for Laundrie, the boyfriend, Brian Laundrie. They've searched a 24,000-acre Florida Nature Preserve over the weekend with no success trying to find Laundrie, who has suddenly disappeared after he was named a person of interest in the case. So his whereabouts is unknown as of right now, but a lot of people are asking, well, why are we making such a big deal out of Gabby Petito? Well, the thing is she's what they call an influencer. And influencers are artists in their own right. So I guess they are equivalent in today's society as, you know, an actor or a singer or somebody famous, because she had about a million followers on her social media accounts. And then you have people like Joy Reid on MSNBC, who called it a missing white woman syndrome, another form of racism in the country. CNN's Don Lemon points to white privilege, and it's ignorant nonsense, he says. So, again, they never miss an opportunity. Those people who are probably making 10 times more than a lot of white people are in this country, talking about racism. These people of color make me sick on TV that say those kind of things.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. We're still looking for Brian Laundrie, but and we don't know if he's okay. We don't know.
Well, yeah, he's been missing, and he is a person
missing
of,
missing or hiding out. That's the question.
Well,
I think everybody wants to know.
Right, and I think you know, if he is missing because he is hiding out, then he's got some splaining to do, as they say.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
On air, online, or on demand, take AM 670 KMZQ with you wherever you go. Download the SimpleRadio.com app and make us your favorite today.
A union we can count on. A union with a legacy known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family, and their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
There's a reason approved certified pre-owned Jaguars enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Jaguars. Hi, this is Ray DiNardi. With the 100,000-mile approved certified warranty, pre-owned Jaguars still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on many more exhilarating drives. Come find yours today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here from my friends at Blue Sky Insurance. Did you know that Medicare open enrollment begins on October 1st and runs through December 7th? It's time to get prepared for the changes coming in 2022 to Medicare Advantage, Medicare supplements, drug plans, and local medical networks and providers. That's why you need to reach out to Steve and Amy Miller at Blue Sky Insurance. Even if you're already enrolled, you need to know about these big changes coming next year. If your doctor has moved, retired, or you just feel out of sync with your present doctor, there are several new medical groups that are serving Las Vegas. And for you veterans, there are plans specifically designed to complement the care you receive from the VA. You don't have to drop one or the other. Your service to our country has earned you both. Call now to pre-schedule your October review of your Medicare coverage. Call Steve and Amy Miller at Blue Sky Insurance, 702-410-8020. That's 702-410-8020. You can also text calendar to 702-410-8020 to receive a link and schedule your appointment.
The same great show with the same great host, just at a new address. Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Still to come, Megan Barth from ReaganBabe.com will join us. I can't wait to find out what she thinks about Dean Heller entering the race for governor. We talked yesterday, and I had just mentioned that I think it's going to turn the whole thing upside down, and that the at least right now, you'd have to say that the guy with the most name recognition across the state is probably Dean Heller. Does that mean he's the most popular guy across the state? I don't know. We'll get a chance to talk to Megan Barth about that. Also, I'm going to let you hear from Tucker Carlson about a military takeover that everybody talked to. Oh, it could never happen in America, but you saw how close it came with General Mark Milley essentially taking over